Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James. I'm so glad you tuned in today. You are in for it today. We have got such an exciting guest. We love this woman. Her name is Cherie Land, and she has become a very, very dear friend of mine. And she had, remember, what are we talking about all these weeks? What are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we get to recover all. We are the ones who get to recover all. We are the ones who don't get to lose. The Lord has ordained that we would be the ones who pursue, overtake, and recover all. So Cherie is a great, great story of recovery, and none of the recovery you think of when you hear that word, because that's become a buzzword. I don't want you to think about that. I want you to think about all the brokenness being healed. I want you to think about the fact that the Lord doesn't leave us where he finds us, but that he restores all the broken places. So welcome with me, Cherie Land. She is a blessing. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
At my kitchen table, and we're just going to hang out and talk and tell you her story. So get me started. How do I start with you?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know how to start with me sometimes. It's an honor to be here. I'm so glad you're doing this podcast.
Thank you.
When I've listened, it's helped me. I know it's helping a lot of women. So just thank you. I wanted to be able to say that.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for that.
Yes. So where do we start? Gosh, there's so much. But I feel like I've been praying what God would want me to share with, especially women that are listening. And there's been so much restoration in my life that it's to pinpoint it down. It's like, it's hard. And so for me, I came out of a past of, I grew up in a family with a lot of abuse. I had a mom that was, I would say now that's, that was emotionally irresponsible. I grew up in a home with a lot of abuse, a lot of stuff that a young girl should not have to experience. I did go through. And then having a mom that instead of helping you, I experienced a lot of abuse. And so growing up with that, and then kind of, she passed away when I was 28, and I remember the day she passed away, I was really angry at God. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Christian school. And so the day she passed away, I remember the day they were throwing the dirt on her casket, I had told God I hated him. And I was going to, it wasn't I didn't believe in him. I was going to do everything I could to go against him. And so I did a really good job. The age of 28, for the first time, I started doing drugs. I got into the sex industry, and it was a really rapid thing. Got involved with people, started dealing drugs, and just a really broken life. And then about 10 years into that lifestyle, I got connected with a guy and ended up marrying him, was with him for 14 years. He was literally one of the biggest cocaine dealers in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
He was in the gang life. They were around a lot of gangs, a lot of abuse, a lot of women, a lot of other women. And so coming out of that life, there was a couple from Edmond that right before they came to rescue me, basically out of a crack house, I had been crying out to God to not, I was done. I didn't, don't leave me here. Don't let this be all I know. And please let me know what it was like to be loved before I died. And so God heard my cry, and he sent this couple. Didn't know anything about me. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't even know, but on Easter, they came and rescued me. And I went to this house in Edmond, and I got to move in with these people. And her husband, I got to see how a man honored a woman. Like, I'd never seen that before.
Wow.
I can remember the first time having to sit out at her mailbox because she wasn't home yet, and he would never be alone with another woman. And I had to wait on her to get home. And I remember the tears. Like, that was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And so anyway, I was with them for about a year. And then I went to work for an amazing church and just really broken still. And the staff there was amazing. And they came around and supported me and helped me begin to walk out my healing. And so, and then about a year into it, I met probably one of the most amazing human beings that you could ever meet, which is my husband now.
You love that guy.
He is amazing. One of the most amazing godly men. And I just think like before we started this, we were talking about, I think it's funny how the thing I hated the most was a man, did not trust, wanted nothing to do with. God used this man to show me the love of the Father through him. And then the example that him laying his life every day to serve. My husband every day is always in pursuit of who God is and everything that he does. He wants the foundation of that to be God. And so I got to see that. And so for us, after 2 years in, we've been married about a year. We started noticing some things weren't right. And I didn't know exactly what it was. And I started to think I had done so many drugs that I wasn't going to be normal again. Mm-hmm. And so I had in the Word every day. I was working for a church, doing ministry, and something wasn't well. Something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And I would get to where big crowds, I would get paralyzed. There were days I would get ready to go to work or go to do ministry, and I would get to my front door. And there would be days I would sit there for like an hour and I could to be able to even make it. There were some days I didn't even make it out the door. And then there were days we would leave ministry and I would come home and go in the bedroom and fall apart crying. And so my husband has been through a lot, mm-hmm. but I just, as each day would go, it was getting worse and worse. And I spent time with God. I spent time on my face. I spent time. I was walking to my house, you know, scripture out loud, praying with my husband. Yeah. Since the day that I've been married, my husband every morning lays his hands on me and prays over me. Like we were doing everything that we were supposed to be doing and I wasn't well. And then I got to a point where I became so angry at God. Like, why did you even bring me out of that life for it to be this hard? Like I was mad mm-hmm. and I felt abandoned. I felt like he wasn't listening. And so it began to be so much that I quit the church. I pulled out of ministry. And I went to work for this really small places. It was kind of like I wanted to hide because I wasn't doing well. I wasn't functioning. I didn't feel normal. Wow. And so, but God knew, and it was a part of his plan. So I went to work for this company, which my boss, which is now my best friend, and she's the president on our board. She was in school for counseling. And we worked for a t-shirt company, and we would have to pull orders and do numbers. And one day, I'm so thankful for the calling on her life. She pulled me in her office and showed me how messed up this paperwork that I was doing. And she said, I want to help you. She said, I'm not done with school yet, but you're showing signs of like ADHD. And there's some things I'm seeing and it's unethical for me as your friend. Can I send you to somebody professional? Mm-hmm. That was a start. God knew, and it was a part of his plan. So I went to this lady. And I will never forget that night driving home because I'd been diagnosed with my PTSD was to the level of a war vet.
Right.
And then I had SPD. And then I was diagnosed.
Whoa, stop. What's SPD?
SPD is kind of like ADHD and it is your surroundings. It is like even down to the clothes I wear, like tags. If I go into a place and it's really busy and messy, I just kind of.
So sensory overload.
Sensory. Yeah. Okay. It's. So we got diagnosed with that. And not that I wanted anything, but I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like,
it's good to know that there is something. Yes. So you know how to face it.
Yeah. So then we decided to get a second opinion. And I have to share this part because I went to a second person in Edmond and his name is Jeremy Tanner. Never met the guy. And I go there and he was so amazing. And he basically said, as doctors, we need to put labels on stuff. But if you let me work with you, you don't have to stay this way. Like, you do not have to stay like this. And we can get you well. And so over each visit, we'd share a little more and we would share a little more. And then he kept talking about his mother-in-law. She's a part of an amazing ministry. And just watching her blesses me and it ministers to me. And she loves on these women and never asks anything. And we go a little more. Well, he began to work with me about triggers. What are triggers and how do you respond? And so my husband started going to every counseling session with me and him learning about it. And so he can help me. He went beyond the point of being a husband. How much he poured into me, it made me want to keep trying it to get well. And so this psychologist the longer I met with him, he talked more about his mom, And so one day I just said, oh, he said she's part of a ministry. And then he started talking about, he said how this ministry started. There was this couple that rescued a girl from a drug house. And I just sat there and I went, who is your mother-in-law? And he said, Karen Christman. And I said, what is the name of the ministry? And he said, BR. I said, I'm the girl.
He lost it crying.
Oh. So I knew God had brought him to me. But what was so powerful is the very first day of the visit, he said, I do not tell my patients my personal life, but for some reason I feel I'm supposed to share this with you. And he talked about he has grown up with learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. He grew up with ADHD, and he knew what it was like to be made fun of, even going to school to get his degree. And I remember that session, I don't remember a lot of what he said. And that day driving to that appointment, two nights before, I had been on my back porch at midnight, and I was ready to end my life. And I told God, we have this appointment, and I'll give you, that's as much time as I'm giving you. That's it. After this appointment, if there's no hope, I'm done. Like, I'm ending my life. I can't do this. The first session, he said, I have no idea why I'm sharing this with you, but he shared. He was real and raw in his struggle that he had with his learning disability. I don't remember what he said, but I remember all the degrees on his wall. And it gave me hope. And I said, I'm not giving up. Like, I'm not. He had no idea I told God that day driving there, this is it. This is your last day. Wow. So him sharing that. And then as we went on, his mother-in-law was a part of this ministry And so that gave me hope. And so I had just decided, I got really angry at the enemy. And I said, you don't get to do this. And so we did start off with medication, which it helped, and I'm not opposed to it. But after about a year, because if you take one, it creates a side effect, you take another one. So before you know it, I'm on all these medications. And I remember one day I went to my cabinet and I said, no more. We're not doing it. I didn't come off crack and meth and all of this to be medicated. And so
I am having a fit.
Yes.
Over here. Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so I called my husband and I said, I'm going to my doctor and we're going to get off all this medicine. And so I went and talked to my doctor. God has surrounded me with amazing doctors and psychologists and counselors and wisdom and leaders to be able to be well.
Yeah.
Not just well, but I kept telling God, I'm healing well. I'm not just healing, but I'm going to heal well. Mm-hmm. And so my doctor said, I will work with you. We can come off this medicine, but you have to promise me you will exchange that through food. Like we would. And so that's where I started. And so I used herbs and food. So now I've been completely off medication for a year and a half. I'm nowhere where I was. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying we don't have moments, but because we have been trained so well, we identify triggers. I've learned to speak out. Like I've learned to call friends. Today is not a good moment. Can you help me? Or can you walk with me? Or I call my husband. Or we've learned to be real and raw in those moments. So to say that everything has completely gone away, it hasn't, but life is beautiful.
You're not where you're going, but you're not where you were. You've left, right? You haven't arrived, but you've left.
And we've learned in those moments, my husband has learned to read my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will have moments, hey, let's take a break. Let's walk outside for a minute.
Yeah.
Or my friends are so healthy and they've walked this journey with me to where I can say I need a minute and they understand what's going on. And all I do is walk outside and I just take a few minutes and then I go back in and I regroup. And so to have an amazing circle that God has given me, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. And so I think in that, that's kind of how our ministry started. And so I have a heart for women that come out of trauma and prison that experience mental health and working with them, because just being honest, I think I've learned a lot of times when there's people that have never been through something like this, they want to understand, but it's hard for them too. And so what was hard for me through that journey is I had people that would throw 500 scriptures on me or tell me, well, you don't want to be well. You're not trying hard enough. You just want attention. And that was some of the part what led me onto the back porch to end my life. Because I just, okay, God, like I'm not good enough.
Right.
Like no matter. And I think for me, there would be this anger that I would, while they were saying that, I would be so angry at them because I would think they have no idea how I'm on my face every morning in prayer and saying these scriptures and crying out to God and asking him, where are you? Which he was there all the time.
Right.
Yeah. And then I see that now.
Right.
But through the walk of that mental health and stuff, sometimes I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
And so it's also as our ministry, it's helping me, giving me a new vision as a leader and an understanding of what it is that we're here to serve.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Yeah.
To lay our life down and serve. And we're not here to fix people. We're here to love them exactly for where they're at. And it's messy.
And bring them to wholeness.
Yes.
Don't demand their wholeness.
No.
But bring them there. Okay, we have to take a break for our beloved sponsor. But we are going to come back. I want to get you started back in that place. I want to ask you, how as believers can we come alongside people that are still struggling? Mm-hmm. And they're really working at it. And they're really struggling. What is the way to do that? That's the first thing I want to ask you. The next thing I want to ask you is about dignity and grace, because we partnered up. Yes. Breathe and Dignity and Grace are partners forever, and we love what you're doing, and I want to hear what your heart is for that, okay? But let's take a break really quickly for our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barn dominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Hey, welcome back to Breathing Room. We love you. We are so glad you are here. I am here with my friend Cherie Land, and she's been telling her story about epic recovery, epic regathering of the things that we've lost. That the enemy is a thief and a liar, and the Lord wants to restore to us seven times what he has stolen from us. Amen. But sometimes it doesn't happen just instantaneously, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And so you were talking, and I want to focus in on this, because men and women of God, it makes me emotional. I'm there, but we cannot be the ones who spew condemnation on the people of God around us that are struggling. We can't be those that are injuring further these people that are injured. The only way I can relate to it is that I know the word of God concerning physical healing. And I am there. I preach healing. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. And yet there is no healing yet in my body that I can see. It's happening, but I can't see it yet. And I can't tell you the amount of condemnation I've lived through from other people and from myself.
Yes.
It is a life condemnation is a life sucking environment.
Yes.
It is. There's no hope in condemnation. There, it is a waste of time, because the whole time I'm being condemned either by you or by myself, I'm not moving forward, am I?
No.
I can't. As a matter of fact, I'm moving backward. So back to your story, I want to know, tell me as a woman of God, how to help somebody that is not there yet. They have left the station, but they have not arrived where they're going.
I think for me is what I said just a while ago is learning to love people for where they are and understanding their healing is not yours. How God took you is not the way they're going to take them. And you need to stay out of God's way and let them do. Of course, God sends us to be one of the stories I share with all of our women, because I go into the prison and I teach class and I get to be around. These are the most probably beautiful women I've ever met.
Wow.
And I've gotten the honor to serve and love on and be around. Yeah. But one story I share with them whenever they're coming out, because even me, like being in that industry, I was in the sex industry, and it just all, my word was disposable when I came out of that life. And so I share with the women that.
Wait, that you believed you were disposable.
I believed I was disposable. That was my word whenever I came out of that. And so I share with the women, you know how you have a woman who's in labor and then she is in that room and she can have her husband, she can have her mom, and holding her hand, rubbing her back, putting a cloth, giving her ice chips, trying to comfort her and making her feel as comfortable as she can be. And a lot of times when God brings us to people like this, that's who we are. But I tell the women, when it comes down to this woman giving birth, she has to bear down. She has to push. She has to bear through all that pain. We can't do this for you.
Yeah.
You have to push. We were brought alongside you to comfort you. And I think a lot of times that people that when they come along a woman, they want them to be well so much that they're trying to change them and fix them
right.
of what they see. But they're broken too. And you're looking through it through eyes of your own brokenness.
Right.
And so I remember it was life changing for me. We have women that come to our backyard to sit, to heal, because we want them to learn to hear God's voice, not mine. Not anybody else's. We want them to hear God's voice. So they come to our backyard to sit, to be still. And so I remember the first time this happened, it changed my life on how to deal with these women. I don't mean these women because I'm one of these women, mm-hmm. but she was sitting there and she was crying and I felt her pain because it was where I was. She was like, I just feel like no matter what I do and everybody's trying to tell me and nobody's listening and I'm quoting all these scriptures and I'm doing everything that they say. And God just kept saying, be quiet, listen, be quiet, listen.
Mm-hmm.
And after she got quiet after a little bit, this was not me. This was God. I leaned over and I said, is this something you want me to help you with? Or do you want me to just sit here and listen to you? And she lost it crying. And she said, you're the first person who did not throw 500 scriptures on me. And thank you. Just sit with me. And that's all we did. And it was the most life-changing of how I deal with how I am.
Okay, so is that where Dignity and Grace got started?
No, where Dignity and Grace got started was I was starting to go into the prisons. I was coming to a medium security where they get to leave in the day and they can go apply for jobs. And we were taking clothes up there. And I found out that women didn't even have shoes to go find a job.
Wow.
Didn't have clothes, didn't have. And I came home one day and I was crying to my husband. And I said, this is unacceptable. These women have served their time. They've done everything that they're supposed to do. And they don't even have soap or shoes to find a job. They deserve to be treated with the utmost dignity and grace. And I went, that's the name of our ministry.
Did you hear all the bells in heaven go off?
Yeah.
I know. I heard that when I heard the word breathe.
Yeah. Too. And so that's kind of how it started.
Wow.
And so that's how we got started.
Wow. That is so amazing. Okay. So what do you do now? I mean, what does Dignity and Grace look like now?
Right now, we've been doing this for a little over a year and a half. Dignity and Grace is we help women when they transition out of prison. And we help with like the clothes. And as our ministry is growing, and I can't indulge too much because I don't want to. We have a program we're going to be launching in March.
Yay.
We have had some licensed professionals that have been meeting once a week to create a program to help women deal with mental health coming out of trauma. And so that's all I'm going to share because it's really big and huge.
Oh, so excited.
President, my best friend, she has been pouring herself into this every week. And so they've been sitting down with me and they'll come to me with what they have. And it's far beyond my expectations. Like I have cried. It is more than what I could ever ask God to do. And it is so beautiful and amazing. And so that's all I can say.
Okay.
Because I don't want to ruin it, but it is huge.
So
what we're launching in March to be able to help to come, not just have the women just go through counseling, but it's going to be personal. And we are going to walk alongside them through every part of it where they don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
So it's pretty huge.
Wow. Okay. So will you come back in March and tell us about it?
We are so excited.
I am so excited. Okay. Well, Dignity and Grace and Breathe have partnered up.
Yes.
Can I tell them about this?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have partnered up for some scholarships for women that are in transition to come to the Breathe Retreat. The next one is on April 24th. It is, just to give a brief commercial, it is a 12-hour fully immersive and fully interactive worship encounter for women. My job is just to create a space for the Lord to come and do what he does with every woman. So Breathe for every woman is going to be different. For the woman next to you, it's going to be a different experience than it was for you because she needs something from the Spirit of God. And if we just create the space and if we invite him to come, he will encounter them. I've always thought that women in transition, because that's what I've been calling out for, since Breathe started, I have no access to that. And so the Lord brought me Cherie to bring me those women in transition. What do they need? They need an encounter with the living God who hears their heart and he knows what they're called to and he knows how to fix those things in a way that is deep and real and permanent, mm-hmm. right? And so if we can just create a space. So Cherie and I have partnered up to offer some scholarships to women. I'm so grateful for you. Mm-hmm. And access to these women to be able to bring them in, to give them a day that is more beautiful than they've ever experienced before in their life, both physically and spiritually,
yeah.
you know, and to launch them from that place to never be the same again. It's a never be the same again kind of day. It's a hinge day. It's the day where you turn from one way to another. Yeah. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely, I agree. And I love, like, the breathe retreats are so life-changing, and it goes into what we at Dignity and Grace want to do. You know, the 2 years God took me into the quiet,
yeah.
still, it was when I came out, what I got the most out of it is I learned, I know my Father's voice,
yes.
and nobody can take that from me, and I know it above every other voice.
Yes.
And so that's the experience of breathe, learning to come to a place to hear his voice.
And giving them the tools that they mm-hmm. need to break off bondage and throw it
yes.
from them. And to really do physical things even, to engage with that spiritual understanding and with the goal that we're trying to achieve at that moment. Okay, Cherie, here's the thing. We have 2.5 minutes left. There's somebody listening, and I need you to pray for them.
Okay.
I need you to cry out for them. I'm going to agree with you. I'm just going to let the Lord do what he does, and let's just pray for them.
Okay.
Here, come here again.
Yes. Father God, we just pray for every person mm-hmm. that's listening here today, Lord.
Yes.
And we don't know where they're at, but you do, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we just pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I was even writing notes that I felt mm-hmm. like you were wanting me to share with any woman that is listening to this. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to read off of this and where I felt that the Lord had led me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an urge, truth be told. Every woman has felt it. Every champion has, every president, every king, every leader, every soldier has felt it, and every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, if you don't have the help, if you don't have the family for it, if you don't have the background for it, and if you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dreams. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You may not read as fast. You may not move as quick. You may not have as much, but don't you give up on your dreams. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, and as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something we would lose if you were not there.
Amen.
I will not lie. There were days that I did not feel like going on, but I do feel like going on now. And if I can encourage you, don't give up on your dreams. Mm-hmm. Don't you quit. Wherever you are, even in the crushing, even in the pain, God is using that if you will just hang on. I promise you he's using you. And if you will just hang on to the Iberian, God will glorify that. Beauty for ashes.
Mm-hmm.
God is bringing you to a place to where you can see beautiful again. Whatever that might be, whatever he's asking you to let go of, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the betrayal, I ask that you just stand with God as he begins to heal you, as he begins to lay your heart on the altar and heal and do what only he can do. And we ask all this. I ask God to bless you everywhere that your feet and hand touch. I ask that you're blessed. And I pray favor over you, and I pray for your healing in Jesus' name.
Amen. We break off suicide in yes. the name of Jesus. We break off a spirit of suicide
yes.
and we're done. So guys, we love you so much, and we declare that you will be fully restored. You are a story of his greatness.
Yes.
You are an illustration of God's goodness. We want to know, we want to hear from you. You can reach out to us at breatheretreat.life, and I will have Cherie's information in the notes under this podcast. We love you. And we will talk to you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.